The Weekend Primer.
Have a good weekend.
Hey, it's Friday. I'm very excited. How about you, Kristen?
I'm excited, but I'm jealous because you've been on vacation.
I have been on vacation.
Friday means more to me today than it does you.
I don't know about that. It was really hard coming into the office today.
Yes, I'm sure.
I was down in Phippsburg. We did a staycation. We went down to Phippsburg, spent the week on Popham Beach, spent some time in Freeport, and what a fantastic time. It's great to be home, though, and be in my own bed. I didn't sleep well the whole time I was away, so it was good to finally get a night's sleep into the deal.
Well, then I'm glad you're back and getting some rest.
Yeah. And we're very excited today because we have gubernatorial candidate Elliot Cutler in the house today. Elliot, welcome to the show.
Great to be here. And listen, the best thing about your vacation was you took it in Maine. That's fabulous.
That's right. Well, where else would you go than Maine for a summer vacation?
You didn't leave all your money in Freeport, did you?
We did not.
Good.
I think I left it in Phippsburg. Actually, I'm missing my wallet, so I'm betting that's exactly where it is under the bed somewhere.
On the beach.
Beautiful. Yeah. It is beautiful. Well, we are really excited to have Elliot Cutler here in the studio today. And for those that don't know, Elliot Cutler is running for governor for the state of Maine in 2014.
Independent. Just like me.
And Elliot ran for governor in 2010, just barely lost that race. By a hair, exactly. And current polls, one out actually today from the Michaud camp, has Elliot trailing in the polls right now at about 13% behind Michaud and Paul LePage. But like last go around, Elliot came from behind and had a huge surge as it approached the election day. And you expecting the same thing to happen this time, Elliot?
I am. And, you know, the interesting thing about three-way races, which we have in Maine all the time, 9 out of the last 10 gubernatorial elections have been three or more way races. The interesting thing is that every three-way race is characterized by huge change at the end. Because today, according to the last non-Michaud campaign poll, two-thirds of Maine voters haven't made up their mind who they're going to vote for in November. And I can tell you, just by going around here in Aroostook for the last couple of days, I'll be here tomorrow, that's true. People haven't made up their minds about who they're going to vote for. They're waiting for debates. They're waiting to hear from the candidates, to hear their ideas, and to hear them compare their ideas with the others. It's a long way to go. So, no, I fully expect a big surge at the end.
Now, people are waiting for information.
Yeah,
and the great thing about having you here is that people in Aroostook County are begging for information, and they're really begging for their lives. You know, we are very proud people in the county, as they should be. And those that are born and raised and grew up here work very hard to earn their money and are very proud of what they've attained and where they come from. A strong heritage in Aroostook County. But any person will tell you that the county is struggling. And it's been a very difficult road. And one of those things that's indicative of problems that you can see how the communities are doing is in local politics and the municipal running of government. We have seen, Elliot, a significant shift in how money is distributed within the state. And we are now facing, in every community in Aroostook County, the strong debate about the town council's upset at the schools for the amount it costs for education, the reduction in revenue sharing from the state, and the burden being put on the local communities through property taxes. Is that fair?
Well, I'll tell you what isn't fair. It's fair to expect that kind of reaction to what's happened in the state of Maine. And let me just start by saying that folks in Aroostook are not the only people who are proud of folks in Aroostook. All of us in Maine are proud of Aroostook County. You know, we live in a state of 1,300,000 people. It's as big as Greater Buffalo, New York. And we're responsible for this huge piece of real estate. And we've all got to be part of one community. And what's happened to our community and to communities all over the state is that the state government has taken money, has taken the responsibility for raising taxes off of broad-based taxes like the income tax and the sales tax. They've run away from the responsibility for budgeting. They've run away from the responsibility of planning and building and investing in the state of Maine. And they've put all those burdens on our communities, on Houlton, on Presque Isle, on Madawaska, on every community in Rustic and every community in the state. And so property taxes have been rising because towns and cities in Maine only have one way of raising money, and that's the property tax. And so we've got people all over Maine, all over the state of Maine, people who have lived all their lives to pay for their homes. And they've paid for their homes. They don't have a mortgage anymore. But they're being driven out of their homes because property taxes are rising. Property taxes and fuel costs are rising. People are being driven off farmland. People are being driven away from the shore. Fishermen are being driven away from the shore. This is happening all over Maine. And that shift in responsibility from broad-based taxes that are paid not only by those of us who live in Maine, but by the 15 million or so a year who visit Maine, those tax burdens are being shifted onto the backs of communities. And so people are upset, and I don't blame them. And I have said over and over and over again that one of the biggest changes we've got to make in Maine is tax reform. We've got to change the way we structure our taxes. And I used to think that I'd come out with a big omnibus tax reform package that covered income tax, and state tax, and sales tax, and property tax, and I changed my mind. And I changed my mind because we have a property tax emergency in Maine. And I've proposed a property tax relief plan that's going to save 20% to 40% for every median homeowner's taxes. It's going to return another $100 million a year statewide to cities and towns so that you don't run into these problems like you're having right now in Houlton. Another $75 million for schools, public education in the state of Maine, so that we take up some of that burden statewide, getting us close to the 55% that we're supposed to be at. And we're going to double the amount of money we spend on promoting and developing branding and tourism, marketing the state of Maine. Now, how are we going to do that? We're going to go back, and we're either going to raise the sales tax statewide year-round by 0.5%, from 5.5% to 6%, or we're going to have a seasonal sales tax. We drop the sales tax back down to 5%, except in the summer when it goes to 7%. And we put more of the burden on people who visit the state of Maine.
Now, what about those people that will say, okay, Elliot, that's fine, but you're going to drive business away from the state of Maine by raising taxes?
Well, when you raise the sales tax by 0.5%, there is absolutely no evidence anywhere at all, that you're going to dampen business activity or that you're going to drive businesses out of the state of Maine. I mean, the amount of money that goes back into people's pockets because they're saving $500, $1,200 a year in taxes is immense. I mean, that's an immense change. And those people are going to spend that money in Maine, buying goods in Maine. This is the right way to go.
There are a lot of people out there that are on a cut mindset that government in Maine is too large and that our problem is not the amount of revenue coming in, that it is the amount of money that's being spent.
Right. And what I say to these folks is this. We don't need to and shouldn't spend any more money than we all agree we have to spend in order to provide the services that we demand from state and local government. And what are those services? Well, you go back to the original reason why state and local governments were formed, and that is roads and schools. Roads in Maine today are a mess, and no one's going to argue with me. We're almost last in the country on the quality of our roads and bridges. It's the backbone of the biggest industry in the state, which is tourism, and we're not investing. We're not investing in this state that we all love. We've got to invest. We've got to do it with a time horizon that makes sense, which is longer than the next election. We've got to have a business plan for the state of Maine because the state of Maine is the largest and most complicated enterprise in the state. We need to have a capital budget. The city of Houlton has a capital budget. The state of Maine doesn't have a capital budget. This is nuts. This is a badly managed, badly planned economy. And as a consequence of that, we've been going downhill now for 11 long years, ever since Angus left office.
Yeah, and as we look at the municipal budgets, we take a very close look at property valuations in the state, because that's where the school budgets are determined through the EPS model. And we have seen that continuous drop within the state of for 11 years of property values going down. We've been okay here in Houlton. Our values have gone up, but that has a negative impact too for us. But knowing that, we have seen so many businesses move out of the Aroostook area, out of southern Aroostook. Is it too late? No. I mean, are the businesses gone? How do we get those back? And is it going to be too long before we can draw them back?
No, it's not too late. And if we begin to believe that it's too late for the state of Maine, it'll be too late. I believe in Maine's future. I'm running for governor because I believe this state can be not only the greatest place to live in the world, but the greatest place to make a living. I just came, before I came to see you guys, I just came from Harbison Plumbing.
Bison Pumps.
Bison Pumps are one of the greatest success stories in the state of Maine. And David and his son, John, they have developed this business from nothing. And they are now selling 800, 900 pumps a year. And these are not cheap pumps.
They are not.
And
they're beautiful
11,
pumps.
They're beautiful. They're gorgeous pumps. And they've got 11 people working in that shop. People who have great jobs, making a high quality product right here in the state of Maine. This is the kind of possibility we have. I'll give you another one. There are 800,000 acres of land lying fallow in Aroostook County right now. We used to in Maine, back when my grandfather came to Maine as an immigrant, we had almost 7 million acres of land under cultivation, 6.9 million acres of land under non-forest cultivation. Today we're at 1.4 million. The markets we used to sell to are closer. The prices people will pay in those markets are higher. We're the oldest state in America and getting older, but our farmers are getting younger. This means we ought to be investing in promoting and developing agriculture and diversifying what we grow in the state of Maine. That's going to be great for this county, because this county is where the best land in the state is.
Well, there's no doubt about that. As an independent, how do you, once elected, or if you are elected as our governor?
You mean when?
We'll see. How do you bridge that gap between a partisanship that's taking place in Augusta? How do you get the cooperation of Republicans and Democrats?
So remember what I just said. Our economy's been going downhill in a tailspin now for 11 long years. Our incomes are 40% behind the rest of New England, 20-25% behind the rest of the United States. We've been named the worst place in America to do business by Forbes magazine for 4 years in a row. Now, wouldn't you think after 11 years of a declining economy, through 8 years of a Democrat, 3 years of a Republican, 4 years of Forbes saying we're the worst place in the world to do business, in America to do business, wouldn't you think that those partisans in Augusta, Democrats and Republicans, would sit down together, put their labels aside and say, hey, we got a problem here. We need to fix this, and we need to fix it because the state of Maine is more important than either our party or your party. And guess what? They haven't done that. And the reason they haven't done that is that the two parties have gone to the two extremes of the political spectrum, and they've left the rest of us right in the middle with no leadership whatsoever. None. And if we have a leader in Augusta, a governor, who provides a place in the middle where good Democrats and good Republicans and good independents who put the interests of the state of Maine above the interests of their political party can come together, they're going to do it. I think a lot of those Democrats and Republicans...
Are there enough of them?
Yes, there are. I think 40% or 50% of them voted for me in 2010, for goodness sake. They didn't say so. They want leadership. People don't get elected to the legislature and drive from Houlton or Smyrna or anywhere else in your listening area down to Augusta to do bad things. That's not why they run for office. It's not what they want to do. They want to succeed. They need leadership, and I will provide that leadership. I'll provide new ideas. I don't believe in looking for Maine's future through a rearview mirror. I've worked hard my whole life. I've started 8 successful businesses. I've been a lawyer, an entrepreneur, a businessman. I've been a public servant. I've done well at all those things. This is the most complicated enterprise, the biggest one in the state. I can be the CEO, and we need a CEO with new ideas.
You're listening to the Weekend Primer on WHOU with Fred and Kristen. In the studio today with us is Elliot Cutler, independent gubernatorial candidate for 2014. Elliot, something that's really important to me is education in the state of Maine.
You have kids.
I have kids. I serve on the board here in SAD 29.
Good for you.
We've talked about the finances leaving the school districts and the municipalities. The state has backed away from their 55% mandate to fund education. We haven't seen that for a long time. People are upset. Our budget is at EPS. We can't go any lower than that. And it's just been voted down again by local voters for the second time.
Yeah. What do you do?
What do we do?
Well, I'll tell you one thing we do is we get money back into public education in the state of Maine, and that's what I'm doing with the property tax relief plan. We're getting up just about back to that 55% where we should be and never have been, ever. We've never been there.
No.
We're going to get there, number one. Number two, we're going to get money back to the cities and towns so that the pressures on the cities and towns from the school budget are lessened. That's what that property tax relief plan is all about. And I've put out a long education plan because the property tax relief plan and education are tied together. Mm-hmm. But here's what we cannot do. You're on the board of SAD 29, right? You deal every day as an elected member of that school board with education policy decisions. You're making decisions for your kids and the kids of your friends and neighbors. The Maine Education Association, the teachers' union, about 3 weeks ago, said our number one legislative objective for 2015 is to make education policy, which has now been worked on by you guys, a subject for collective bargaining. We're going to bargain for that as a union. We're going to take over figuring out education policy. Michael Michaud says he's for that. I'm against that. I will not let that happen in the state of Maine. Because education policy decisions in the state of Maine ought to be made by parents, members of school committees and school boards that are entrusted with those policy decisions by statute, by the rule of law in Maine, and we should not change that. We've got to spend more money on good teachers. We've got to get performance measures in the classroom so that we compensate good teachers better so we can attract them and keep them. But to do that, we've got to have a way of measuring teacher performance. I've said to the teachers union, figure it out. You're supposed to be a profession. Help us do this because we need to do it. We're gonna get more money into school districts that have high levels of poverty so that a kid's opportunity isn't a function of his affluence or her zip code. We can't do that in Maine. Every child in Maine needs substantial equality of opportunity. That was what Teddy Roosevelt said we needed in the Square Deal speech, and he was right. Yep. We've got to be strategic and have a plan about how we're going to rebuild education and education outcomes in the state of Maine. I've set out a plan to do that, and my opponents haven't.
Last question that I have for you is that you have spent a considerable amount of time overseas. You've worked in China. You're helping businesses here in Maine reach the Asian market. Is there any hope for Maine, for Aroostook County, in being able to attract business in the county? Is there any hope of building, either attracting Chinese businesses
absolutely.
To set up locations in the state of Maine to be closer to their customers?
Yeah, absolutely. Look. Let me make 2 points. First of all, we should be exporting quality Maine products around the world. I started a business that exported lobsters. Phenomenally successful. We sold 5 million pounds of lobsters to China.
Are you the guy that's running up the prices on lobster on?
No. That's somebody else. We sold 5 million pounds of lobsters to China. That's a big new export market for Maine lobsters. I was talking to the guys at Harbison about they're selling Bison pumps all over the world because they're one of two manufacturers of high-quality stainless steel pumps.
Yeah.
The Chinese saved the mill in Woodland, the pulp mill in Baileyville. That pulp mill is now expanding. They're putting in two tissue machines to make tissue. They're increasing the workforce. If we have, as governor, someone who can help Maine promote itself around the world. I lived in China for 3 years. I worked in Spain. I've worked in Europe. I've worked all over the world. If we have someone who understands this marketplace of 6 to 8 billion people where we're now competing as governor, we're going to take off again.
All right. Well, you've been listening to Elliot Cutler here on the Weekend Primer with Fred and Kristen. We're going to take a short break. Elliot, before we go, I understand that you're going to be in a parade tomorrow.
We're going to be in the Potato Blossom Parade tomorrow. The other thing I want to tell your listeners is that in Fort Fairfield today and tomorrow, we've got a little pop-up tent that for a property tax roadshow. Anybody who owns a home can come in there. And I think we're still in Holton. We're still in Holton for a few more hours. We're in. No. I mean, there's another pop-up roadshow tent in Holton at Monument Park or Monument Square.
Okay, yep.
You can come in there. They've got iPads. You punch in the assessed value of your home, which you pay taxes on, and your zip code, and it tells you how many hundreds or thousands of dollars you're going to save in your property taxes once we get elected and push that through.
Well, thanks for visiting, Holton. Best of luck
with your
campaign, and we hope to see you back in the county.
You will.
All right.
Several times.
All right. Keep it tuned right here to WHOU. We got more interviews on the way, some great information about what's happening this weekend, and some special news that you want to catch as we approach the end of the hour right here on WHOU.